Our scripture reading this morning will come from Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. Once again, that's Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate.
Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest. I want you to come back and be with us at any opportunity that you may have. We began last week a series on the family. And we're going to continue this week with that thought process and discussing, as you might be able to tell from our text this morning in Mark chapter 10, God's design for the family. In Mark chapter 10, 6 through 9, as DJ just read, we read there from the beginning. As Jesus is telling this, he says, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. And then don't miss the last part. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Friends, there in our society today, as we began to talk about last week, the family in society today, and as we look about us today in our modern day society, people have begun to ignore this book when it comes to the family. And friends, we need to get back. If we're going to have Christian homes, we need to examine what God's design for the family unit is. And we need to get back to this great book, and to God's design for us. And friends, if we want to see God's design for the family, we want to see God's design for the home, we have got, as Jesus did, we have got to go all the way back to the beginning and see what it is that we are to do. Friends, you see, God planned the home, not man. And if we would have the best family, if we would have the best home we could possibly have, we need to follow the blueprints of the designer. Brother Bible Liddell once put it like this. The one true and living God, creator of heaven and earth, giver and sustainer of all life, unparalleled because of his omniscience, from the beginning of his creation, determined the participants, the particulars, and the perimeters of the home. God has not only, rather, has God given the plan, but he's given us the materials list as well, outlining in detail what the necessary components are that are to be used in constructing the home as God would have it. So what exactly is God's design for the family? What is his design for the home? We're going to notice three things together this morning. Let us notice, first of all, in depth, that God designed the family unit and the home. Second, let's notice that design. In that design, we are to work together to build a happy home, and in that design, we are to work together to serve God faithfully. Number one, let's look a little bit further in depth and see that indeed it was God that designed the family unit, that God designed the home. Friends, a godly home is built upon the foundation of God's Word. If we would have a righteous home, if we would have a happy home, we should turn to the inerrant, inspired, indestructible, invaluable scriptures that have been once and for all delivered. Jude and verse 3. The very core truth of the matter is this. You see, God's plan is, as laid out in his holy word, is that one man and one woman who are both eligible to marry in accordance with that word, leave father and mother and come together in marriage and cleave. Literally stick to each other as though glued together. The idea there is as if you have two pieces of wood and maybe a tongue and groove, whatever the case may be, and you take carpenter's glue, wood glue, and you glue them together. The only way to get those pieces of wood apart now is to break them. That's the idea. They are to be glued together to one another for life. Now, friends, if those requirements are met, the Hebrews writer says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Friends, this is His plan now. This is His plan today in our modern culture. It has been His plan throughout the ages. It was His plan from the beginning, and it has not changed. If we go back, let's go back for just a moment. Talk about going back to the beginning, so let's go back. Let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Notice first of all, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you drop down to verses 26 and 27, we read, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Now go over to chapter 2. Look at verse 7. "The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Drop down to verse 18. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Now, let's look at the culmination of all of this. Notice that, number one, it was God that created all of this. It was God that put all of this together. Now drop down with me to chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Does that sound familiar? Mark chapter 10, 6 through 9. "They too shall be one flesh." Now, friends, let me ask you this. Who can improve upon God's perfect plan for the home? Who would dare to tamper with God's arrangement of the family? Friends, man cannot improve upon this design, and yet millions of copies of books are sold each year proclaiming the misguided wisdom of man that is totally opposed to the Word of God. One preacher put it like this: "The televised trash of talk show perversions does not satisfy and can never supply the correct answer to the ever-present and ever-important question set forth by men and women, how can we have a happy home? Instead, they, all too often, and as a general rule, encourage evil, laugh off the abomination of unbridled iniquity, mock the idea of God-given boundaries, applaud the twisted, so-damning corruption of hedonism, and mercilessly ridicule, with howling jeers and hateful sneers, any poor soul who would be so bold as to try to direct their thinking toward a higher moral plane." Friends, we cannot look for the guidelines to have happy homes in the sorry examples of the shattered homes of the world. We cannot look for the guidelines to have a happy home by the teachings of those who contradict and hold the God-given precepts for real happiness in contempt. The good news, friends, is that God's answer is plain and simple. His answer is easy to be understood. One man, one woman, joined together for life, having children within the bounds of God's ordained marriage. Genesis 1 and verse 28. Friends, that recipe right there is the foundation of every wisely built home. God's design for the family also includes in its building, in addition to the foundation of truth, walls of love. Friends, love as a wall in the family unit keeps the cold of discouragement away and keeps the winds of destruction at bay. True love, of course, puts God first, and that enables husbands and wives and children and parents to love the others in the family more than if they loved them more than God. If we put God first, that allows our love to grow even more. One who loves his spouse or child or parent more than God has missed the true depth of love possible in the home. Matthew 10 and verse 37. The home that lacks love for God lacks the love of God. But where the walls of true love stand, the home stands. Friends, God's design for the family has for its foundation truth. God's design for the family has for its walls love and for a covering faith. Faith that is biblical faith, of course, friends, is faith that works. We know that. Galatians 5 and verse 6 says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Faith that works, friends, is going to accomplish what God intended. Faith that works is going to accomplish what wise men and women who want what is best desire. This roof of faith serves to keep out the rain. That is, the rain of divisive and destructive doctrines of men, which are fraught with ungodly foolishness, unbalanced perception, and ignorance. Friends, the inhabitants of a godly family, they can dwell under the roof of faith in safety and security, knowing that no harm shall come to their souls while they put their trust in the one who has promised to never leave nor forsake them. There is no doubt that God designed the home, and he designed it for a specific purpose. And friends, number two, in that design, within the home, we see that we are to work together to build a happy home. You see, friends, God's plan has always called upon all in the family to work together to build a happy home. His plan has always called upon all in the family to serve him faithfully and to help one another get to heaven. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 we read, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Friends, quite simply, God created as partners in the first marriage a man and a woman. He does not condone any other arrangement. Contrary to what so-called popular thinking in our society today says, he does not condone, nor will he tolerate homosexuality. He does not condone, nor will he tolerate polygamy. He does not condone, nor will he tolerate premarital, extramarital, or antimarital fornication. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. Contrary to what many in this world think today, contrary to what many think should be done today, the first marriage was not a trial arrangement. Don't miss what Adam says in Genesis chapter 2. "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, for this reason," Adam says, "shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave," never let her go, "unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Friends, God created men and women to be different. No doubt you've noticed that. We're different, quite simply. Now, we're different in many ways. We're different physically, sexually, emotionally. The list could go on for days. Now, although we're different in so many ways, in marriage, the male and the female complement one another, supplying what the other lacks, working together all as God purposed. And in marriage, as God planned, there is companionship. My friends, you think about that day in the garden. As God said, it was not good that man be alone.
You know what? Adam needed to know that too, didn't he? He needed to realize he did not have a companion as of yet. And so all the animals were caused to pass before him. He gave each one a name. And he came to a realization. There's no one here for me. He needed companionship. And that's as God planned it. God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. Genesis 2 verse 18. Adam needed someone he did not have. So God created for him, and don't miss this, he created for him a help meet. Created for him a helper, not a slave, not a master over man, but a suitable helper. The woman, the wife, is to be man's companion for life, and he is to be hers. They are to work together as best friends, helping one another through life. And according to God's plan, husband and wife provide one another the fulfillment needed to enjoy life. Without one another, friends, life is not the good life that God intended marriage to be. But with each other, there is friendship, there is love, there is comfort, there is strength, joy, help, encouragement, intimacy, and satisfaction. And friends, in that design, God gave Adam and Eve work to do in the Garden of Eden. They were to work together. Genesis 2 and verse 15. Adam's response to God's creation of Eve was one of joy. You see that in verse 23. In Eve, he found a co-worker. With her, he could have the tender, personal, human relationship he could not have with the animals. Marriage is God's way. Marriage, God's way, promises joy, friends. You see, many newlyweds enter marriage with anticipation of a happily ever after. While in reality, there are going to be disappointments. And real life does not measure up to fairy tale expectations, but still, there is a real joy and true happiness in God's plan. But on the other hand, if a family strives to build the home, strives to build the family according to any other plan, friends, the consequences will be disastrous. In the building of a house, the workers must work together in following the plan, observing the correct dimensions, the layout, the materials, and so forth and so on. When they all work together, the house will come together as it should. And friends, so it is in marriage. All must work together, but cannot work together as they should without working together for Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:58. As the husband and wife work together, friends, so must the parents and children within that family unit. If one is building and another is tearing down, the home is never built. But it's rather always harmed, and often harmed irreparably. The Proverbs writer said this in Proverbs 14 and verse 1, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hand." Friends, building a happy home requires that all the members of the family have a mind to work, as the people did during the days of Nehemiah and rebuilding the wall. Friends, it's not just the responsibility of one member, usually the wife or the mother, as so many think. Now let's consider a few scriptures and do so with an honest heart, and we will see that all members of the home must be involved in its being what it should be. Let's turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Notice to begin verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Friends, there is a dynamic, a relationship here that is to take place between the parents and the children. First of all, children, obey your parents. Why? Quite simply, for it's the right thing to do. Honor father and mother.
which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long there. Now notice verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And friends, you think about the relationship there. If parents fulfill this command as they ought to, bringing children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and children obey their parents and honor father and mothers, how happy will the home be? In Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, we read there, "Lo, children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. So are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." In Titus 2, beginning there in verse 4, Paul writes to Titus that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. If you're still there in Ephesians, turn back one chapter to chapter 5. And notice again the relationship between the husband and the wife. Beginning in verse 22, we read, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Verse 28 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Verse 31 says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And then verse 33. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now, friends, notice the relationship here. Husband is to love his wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Friends, quite simply, we are to love our wives to the point that we would give our own lives for theirs. But it's always been interesting to me here in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we just read in Titus where the younger women were to be taught to love their husbands. But it's always been interesting to me here in Ephesians chapter 5 that love is never mentioned on the part of the wife. Do you notice that? She is to reverence, respect her husband. You see, God knows that a woman needs love. And God knows that a man, more than anything else, needs to be respected. And friends, if we do things according to God's plan, we'll have a happy home. We must all work together within the family unit to build a happy home. But the home will never be happy, friends, without Christ. Not as happy as it could be. To work hard and diligently, but without God's direction, will produce results that fall far short of accomplishing what He wants for the family. The psalmist writes, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Psalm 127, verse 1. Please note here that we stress that the home is to be happy. The home is to be happy. That is not to say the house in which the home the family resides must be big or expensive or fashionable, lavishly decorated, impressive, or exclusive. Some of the finest Christians I know are poor, but happy because they have Christ as their honored guest. And friends, children have a part in making the home happy as well. As we read a few moments ago, children are to obey their parents, honor father and mother. Parents and children are not enemies.
Friends, nor are parents in exercising authority seeking to punish children and keep them from having fun. Now, friends, don't go to the other extreme either. You're not supposed to be your child's best friend. You're a parent first. Parents are to seek to mold a young life for time and eternity. From the child's conception, a godly mother would have prayed for him, seeking God's blessings, petitioning him for his help, that she might be the mother she should be, and which the child needs and deserves. And the same goes for the godly father. Should not then the child love and respect his parents? The same parents that sacrificed countless hours of sleep and gave so much of themselves to provide for that child. The husband, the wife, and children in the home are all to work together to build a happy home. And friends, in that happy home, we are all to work together to serve God faithfully, number three. Friends, what would you give? What would you give to have a happy home? Perhaps a better question might be, what would you give up to have a happy home? Some might need to give up a selfless, self-centered, self-serving attitude and begin to be a servant of Christ. And to begin to be a servant as Christ was in Matthew 20, 26 through 28. Others might need to give up the love of the world to know the love of God and family. Some may need to give up their pride. Others need to give up feeling sorry for themselves and get busy being constructive. Friends, Adam and Eve had the responsibility to serve God in every aspect of life, including their marriage and home. Marriage requires, as one man put it, a whole lot of leaving and a whole lot of cleaving. The most important human relationship prior to one's marriage is a child-parent relationship, and yet we see that marriage takes precedence over it. To work together in marriage means to work without the interference of parents, though parents may have good intentions. With "I do," friends, also comes "you don't" to any and all who would harm the marital relationship. That includes mom and dad. That includes our children. Marriage is honorable all in the bed undefiled. Fornicator is an adulterer, and adulterers God will judge. Friends, if we are to have a happy home, then we must go back to the book and back to the one that designed it all. And look at his design for the family. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, it is my hope, it is my prayer that we will all strive to build our homes, that we'll all strive to build our families using the divine design that God gives us, and that we will work together to build happy homes and together to serve God faithfully. Friend, are you here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? You may think that you've got it all. That you have a wife, that you have children, or that you have husbands, whatever the case may be. But are you truly happy? Friends, you haven't known happiness until you've had your sins washed away. And you're able to rise again to walk in newness of life. Able to walk with Christ, putting him at the center of your lives so that as you grow closer to him, you can grow closer to one another. Would you obey Jesus this morning? Would you obey the word of God?
Friends, we read within these pages what one must do to be saved. Just as we read this morning, God's design for the family. And in this book, we read that one must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He came to this earth, He bled and died for the remission of our sins. If you believe that this morning, would you repent of sin? Turn your back on the world and give your life to God. Would you do that this morning? Confessing Him before those that are here and before the world as you leave today. And be baptized, immersed in water to come in contact with His blood so that your sins can be washed away. Then, friends, you can truly have a happy home. Friend, are you here having done that at some point in the past? Where are you today? Do you still stand firm upon the Word of God, friend, or have you fallen away? If that's the case, friend, we ask you to come back. Be His again. Center your life around God. And let's build happy homes together. Friend, if you have a need, we ask that you come right now while we stand and while we sing.